Somebody once said that the church is full of bones. There are wishbones who wish that somebody else would do what needs to be done. There are jawbones who talk a lot but really don't do that much. There are knuckle bones who knock what everyone else wants to do. And there are backbones, people who just actually try and get on and do something. So a slightly humorous but maybe even pointed thing that somebody once said. Today we are thinking about serving. We're thinking about the call to service, the call to work, the call to get on and actually do something within the context of the church committee. So as you will have heard me over a week or so flag this up, that we've come to the time when we have to, so often we have to elect a new church committee, and we are going to do that over the next couple of weeks. And when we think about that, it really brings us to think about the whole issue of serving. What does it mean to serve? Not just on a church committee, but what does it mean to serve generally? So there's just a number of things that I want to mention this morning. And the first one, one at a time, yep. Sorry, you can just pull up the first one there, David, for me, is really just to do with the committee duties, or the heart of what the committee is meant to be doing. Let me read. This is one of these mornings where I have to read a couple of wee formal things. For example, the Code of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland says this: the duties of the congregational committee shall be to take care of the poor and administer the temporal affairs of the congregation and be accountable to the Kirk session. To put that in very ordinary way that we understand, it is the responsibility of the church committee to look after finance and property, promoting the interests of church funds, and mission, very practical things like managing the graveyard, overseeing the caretaking of the property. All of that stuff comes under church committee. But let me take you back from that. Let me take you back to the story that we read in Acts chapter 6. Because this story, and we're not going to go into all the details of this passage today, but really pulling out a really big principle as we think of the committee duties. And maybe if I push this, that first heading will come back up. There we are. For some reason, it wants to pull up the second one, but we'll not worry. Acts chapter 6, more important. What's happening in Acts chapter 6? Well, it accounts, it recounts to us the story how in the early church there was a dispute arose. Sadly, not the first dispute to arise within a church, but this dispute arose between two groups of people. They were all Jewish people who had professed faith in the Lord Jesus. Some of them were from a Hebrew background. Some of them were more from a Greek background. And basically one group felt that the other group was being given favoritism. Now, how could such a thing ever happen within a church, that kind of thing would ever be thought, that one group was being favored over another? Well, that's what's happening here. And as the apostles think about this situation, they discern a deeper problem. And we have it. Let me draw your attention to Acts 6 and verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So the apostles discern, look, here's a situation. There's practical work needs to be done here. There's stuff needs to be done. We are spending our time preaching and praying and seeking to reach out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be honest, we don't actually have time to be doing this, so we're going to have to choose other people to do it. And so it goes on. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, it's a very simple principle. It's a very simple solution to a very real problem. There's no hint here, by the way, that the apostles regarded this practical social work that needed to be done as in any way inferior. It's just what, it's just not what they had been called to do. So other people needed to be raised up to do it. So the practical work is here delegated to the 7. And it's this principle that in the church that other people need to be raised up to do very important and very practical stuff that leads us to think about choosing a church committee. The principle, and one of the principles in Acts chapter 6, is that every Christian is called to serve. Some of these people were called to serve in preaching and teaching. Others were called to serve in bringing practical help to people in this situation. Every Christian is called to serve. If you are a believer here this morning, you are called to serve. You are saved in order to serve, not to sit and do nothing, but to actually do something. And whether that's formally through the church or whether that's in some other capacity is, in one sense, neither here nor there. But let's make sure that we have that sense of how can I serve? How can I serve the Lord? How can I actually do something for the Lord Jesus and for his church? So being on the church committee is about service. And that's why I've entitled that first little title there, the committee duties. Yes, there are duties that need to be done. But if you haven't the heart in you to actually serve, it'll just seem like a mundane duty that you get fed up with after a while. So being on the church committee is about service. It's not about having a position of prestige. It's not about having your name in the annual report. It's about having a servant heart. It's about having a heart for other people. It's about having a desire to serve the Lord Jesus in and through his church. Jesus said on one occasion in Matthew chapter 20, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. If you want to be blessed in the Christian life, folks, and this is a principle, whether you're an older person or whether you're a younger person and you're wanting to go on as a Christian, and even if you want to be blessed as a Christian, if you want to really know God's hand upon you, what's the way to do that? It's to serve. It's to serve. It's not to push yourself forward, but it's actually just to get on with it in the background and serve. That servant heart will be a real blessing. It's about having a humble heart. William Gurnall, a Christian from a bygone age, once said this: humility is a necessary veil to all other graces. In other words, you might have many a grace, but if you're not a humble person, that's a blot. That's unhelpful. We need to be humble people. Let me just read you something. I maybe should have had this on the screen, but I don't. Just from a book by a very, very helpful, very, very excellent book by a man called Oswald Sanders on spiritual leadership. And he quotes a man from a bygone age, a man called William Law, who wrote a devotional classic, A Serious Call to Holy Life. And he says this, listen carefully to this, I think there's really an awful lot here. Let every day be a day of humility. Condescend to all the weaknesses and infirmities of your fellow creatures. Cover their frailties. Love their excellencies. encourage their virtues, relieve their wants, rejoice in their prosperities, be compassionate to their distresses, receive their friendship, overlook their unkindness, forgive their malice, be a servant of servants, and condescend to do the lowliest offices of the lowest of mankind. Well, it's only by the grace of God that you'll do that. If a person's not converted, they would listen to that sort of thing and say, yeah, on your bike, that's not what I'm going to do. And of course, that's not what you're going to do if you're not converted, because it's only the Lord can change the heart. And of course, it is the Lord Jesus who is the primary example in the Bible of a person who served. Who in all the Bible was the one person who served, who treated people with great respect and with great regard, who looked on people in a way that was full of humility and kindness and love? It was the Lord Jesus. And the amazing thing is that this Lord Jesus humbled himself so much, even though he was in very nature God. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, says the scriptures, taking the form of a servant and being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. We talk about the heart. We talk about a servant heart. It can only come when we know Jesus. And it can only come as we allow the Spirit of Jesus to put that servant heart in us. So folks, that's at the very heart of what serving is all about. And as we think of committee members, one of the things that the code of our church says that the committee is basically made up of elders. I'm going to repeat this today, because when you go home and you write down names, do not please put down the name of an elder. They're already part of the committee. You don't have to put their names down. But the committee is made up of elders plus others whom the congregation chooses. And then it goes on to say this. The people who can be chosen are voting members. In other words, if your name's on that list out there in the porch, you're a communicant member, you're entitled to be elected. People who are regular in attendance, the way the code puts it, at the church's ordinances, in plain English, people who are regular attendance at worship, people who are actively involved. So we're looking for a maximum of 18 people. And the Presbyterian Church in Ireland permits men and women to be involved in church committee work. So what we're looking for is a maximum of 18 people who are not elders. Men or women who are communicant members of this congregation, who are regular in attendance at worship and at the Lord's table, and who make a good profession of faith. And so, as I said, today, if you're a communicant member, if you haven't already received it, you will have received a piece of paper with the list of communicant members, and you'll receive another piece of paper with numbers 1 to 18 on it, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But what sort of people are you looking for? Well, I've already touched on this. Acts chapter 6 said they chose men who were full of the Spirit and wisdom. What that actually means is people who are not only spiritual but practical. People who have a bit of common wit about them. People who are spiritual but also actually able to get a bit of work done. People who aren't afraid to get stuck in. That's the sort of folks that we're looking for. And I hope that one of the things that you will do before you actually write any names down is to pray. To pray first. Before you go and ask somebody, oh, who are you going to vote for? Or before you lift the phone and say, oh, who are you going to vote for? Well, hopefully there wouldn't be too much of that going on. Don't be asking somebody else. Ask the Lord. Ask God. Seek his face and ask for guidance. Obviously, we're looking for people who are converted, people who have been saved by the grace of God, people who know the Lord, people of practical and common sense, people who are regular in worship, people who have a servant heart, people who don't mind serving. And that's really literally at the heart of it. And I suppose the point I'm trying to get across is this, that committee work, practical as it no doubt is also spiritual work. Please don't think, and sometimes I've heard this sort of thing in different places, oh, I just do the practical stuff, I'm on the committee, I'll let the rest of them get on with all that praying business. No, that would sadden my heart if I ever heard anybody in Colquhoun saying that. The two things must always come together. And let me say this, and I say this in one sense because I want to generally encourage you not only to be regular in worship on a Sunday morning, and yes, on a Sunday evening, why not? What else would you be doing for that hour? But let me also encourage you to think, and not just think, but actually say, you know what, I haven't been at the midweek for a while, but I'm going to come to the midweek. And certainly for church leaders generally, whether it's elders, but also for committee people. I think I would not be the only minister in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland who will have said to his congregation, look, if you're involved in these things, I do expect you to get out to these other meetings. Because it's a practical work, but it's also a spiritual work. And folks, the lovely thing about it is that all that practical stuff that I mentioned earlier, those are things that we need to be praying about as well, that God would help us and God would bless us. So we've said something about the heart. It's about having a servant heart, and we can only have that servant heart when we have the Lord Jesus in our hearts, when we're converted to him, when we're living for him. We've said a wee bit about the members, and just the last thing on the actual practicalities of the election, and I do want to just spell this out for a moment. As I've said, today you will either have received, or you can get one afterwards, a couple of sheets of paper. One with all the communicant members on it, and the other one, a sheet of paper numbered 1 to 18, and then at the bottom of it, a place where you as a communicant member can sign your name and print your name. If we receive a piece of paper that has no signature or no name on it, I'm sure you'll not be shocked to hear it'll be invalid. It'll just not be counted. And if we receive a piece of paper from someone who's not a communicant member, it will also be invalid. This is just for communicant members. This is one of the advantages of being a communicant member. So maybe you're even sitting here this morning and you're a believer, you're a genuine Christian, and you haven't yet joined this church. Well, here's another reason why you need to join the church, so that you can be part of the decision-making process of this congregation. But as I said earlier, and I think that's my last slide. Pray first. Please pray first. Take a moment to read down through the list prayerfully. And please don't start at the beginning and say, right, it's the first 18 names. Because what about the poor creators who are alphabetically at the other end of the list? You know, you can't do that either. You need to read through it all and prayerfully think who you should put down. Choose up to 18 names of people who you think would do a good job serving on the church committee. If you feel you can't put down 18 names, well, that's fair enough. That's fine. That'll not invalidate what you've put down. But if you can put down 18 names, that would be very helpful. Please do not put down the names of elders. I'm nearly tempted to say, in a couple of weeks' time, when we're reading these things, somebody will have put down the name of an elder. Please don't waste your vote by doing that. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Print your name at the bottom of the sheet and remember to put your signature on it. And then over the next couple of Sundays, the 4th and the 11th of October, bring your sheet in. There'll be a wee box in the porch and just put it in there. And then these votes will be counted in a few weeks' time by the elders. And then what we'll do is that I will end up contacting the people whose names have received the two-thirds. I will contact these people, and if they're willing to allow their name to go forward, I will then, over a couple of Sundays, read out the names. And I am bound to say this to you. I have to say this to you. I will read out the names. These are the people who have been chosen. And if there's any objection that somebody has, you have to put it down in writing and give it to me. And then at a later stage, once all of that's done, and hopefully there's not too many objections, at the end of a morning service, we will just have to formally put the names to the members individually, and then they will be duly elected if that's what's going to happen. So that's the procedure. But the important thing is this morning, pray. Take your sheet home, pray over the next couple of weeks, put your names down, and then the elders will look after things after that and keep you informed. But at the heart of it all, folks, it's about serving. And it's a reminder this morning that we're saved to serve, not just to sit and do nothing. We're saved to serve. And whether you will be elected onto the church committee or whether or not, you are still called to serve. And of course, we realize that there's a good number of people in this church who are already serving. They've maybe never been on the committee, but they're serving the Lord, and that's wonderful. But if you're here this morning, and at this point in time, maybe you're not actually doing very much apart from coming on a Sunday, and that's wonderful to come on a Sunday, but there's other organizations that are looking for a wee bit of help. I can think of the youth club, for example. So let's pull together. And if you can serve, if you can help in some small way, that would be really wonderful. And it would be what the church is all about. So let's pause, let's pray, and then we'll sing our closing hymn. Father, we've been on some very practical things this morning, but we believe very important things. And we just ask, O God, that you would guide us and help us over these coming weeks. Help us as people as we go away and pray and then put down our names. Lord, give us hearts that love to serve. Give us hearts that are full of thankfulness as we will now sing. And we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen.